How many know this is going to be a great year? Let me ask that question again. How many know it's going to be a great year? All right. We're walking in the things of God, and we're saying, God, we want to walk in your best. And so we're looking at principles in Scripture that help us walk in God's best for this new year. Last week we talked about gaining that edge back and how God is resharpening us. And we're talking about that thought of how God wants to resharpen us during the season of fasting. We're taking 21 days, and we're on day 7 of a 21-day fast as a church where we're giving up things and asking God to come and to show himself to us, to refresh us, to renew us. Let's go right to our thought today. My thought today is, it's time to cry out. It's time to cry out. Our text this morning is 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let's go ahead and start off by reading that today. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I then will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, isn't this amazing that he says, if my people who are called by my name? Because in our attitude, our thought is, if society would change, if all the heathens would give their heart to God. Isn't that truth? If those people would just give their heart to God. If these people would just give their heart to God, then things would change. My community would change and my school would get better, or you know, things would change around me. These people would just give their heart to God. But according to Scripture, that's not the formula, is it? The formula he gave for change is right here. He says, if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves. Now, who's he talking to? Who are the Christians he's talking to here? Us, right? He's talking to the church. He's saying, if the church, just let's read again. If the church, if Christians will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will come and I will heal their land. See, it's easy to point the change to come when somebody else changes, but it's hard for us to point to ourselves. It's hard for us to point that I need to change, that I need God to do something in my life. It's always somebody else. It's always another group of people that need to change. It's always another group of people that need to repent. It's always somebody else that needs to cry out to God. No, he's saying if we will take time to cry out to God, if we will humble ourselves, if we will repent, that God will hear and heal our land. So why do we need to cry out? Let's just answer it right away. Number one, we need revival. First of all, we need to cry out because we need revival. We have people being saved across the world, not only here at Destiny Church, but across the world, people being saved at a record number. People being saved at a greater pace than we've ever seen it before in the history of church. People being saved. There's a salvation just taking place everywhere, all across the globe, from Brazil to the United States to Africa. We just see this whole wave of people being saved. And we look at that, and if we're not careful, we say that's revival. We say revival is all these people being saved. Well, the church is experiencing revival. And let me say that technically that is not true, because when people are being saved, that's called evangelism. When people are being saved, that's called evangelism. But when people who do not know Jesus, when a sinner comes, gives his heart to God, that is evangelism. But when a Christian repents of his ways, turns his face back to God, that's revival. Big difference. It's a big difference here. And so when we say we're wanting a spirit of revival and we need a spirit of revival, it's saying that the church has lost its way, not the people outside the church. I hope you wore your steel-toed boots this morning, because it's going to get good. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to be all right. But he's preaching to you. It's us that we need to return and say, God, we need to ask God, forgive me of false idols I've built in my life. God, forgive me of growing complacent in my walk with you. Forgive me of putting things above you in my priority list. God, forgive me. It's when the church turns and comes back to God. That's revival. We should always be focused on winning the lost. Let me make that very clear, and I do not back down from the statement. The church is always about the business of winning the lost. And I will never, ever apologize that Destiny Church is going to set itself in a way that's going to help win the lost. From our dress, to our music, to our decor, to our video screen. Things that we do is all about winning the lost in mind. We're creating the atmosphere where they can come in, experience the presence of God in a relevant way, that they can come and understand the gospel, and they can make a life-changing decision to accept Jesus Christ. This is why we're here. We do not back down from that. I'll never apologize for that. This is our goal. But at the same time, we must be careful to make sure we bring balance as well, that at Destiny Church, not only are we called to win the loss, but we're also called to bring revival to the saints. Bring revival to those who know the Lord, but say, God, I want to turn my heart back to you. You see, I believe that we must be about growing people. That's one of the core visions of our church, is growing people. We want to be a church that grows together, that we challenge each other to grow, be discipled, and to grow in your walk with the Lord. You should be further along this year than you were last year in your walk with God. You should be growing in your faith deeper at a level you were this year than when you were last year. This is our responsibility as a church, and it's our vision as a church to see not only people saved, but also to see the church growing in their faith, growing in their walk with Jesus. And so today, we must define. You know, I really can tell you that I struggle with the word revival a little bit, because sometimes we hear it misinterpreted, we hear it mispreached. You know, revival, we think of just a meeting, of a two-week meeting with the evangelist coming in, you know, and when I was growing up, that's what revival was. You brought in an evangelist for a week or two or three or four meetings, and you had this big revival, and that's what they call revival. And so I've always struggled with that, and also it means bringing back something that's dead, you know, and I just tell you right now, the body of Christ, we're not dead. Destiny Church is not dead. But when I use the term revival, I'm also talking about breathing fresh life into, okay? And that's what we need. We need a fresh life. We need a resharpening. We, like we talked about last week, we need a refire of the Holy Spirit in our life. You ever been near a fire that began to go out? And what happens? How do you get that fire to go back up? You just, you ever know someone, Dad, that fire's going out. As a kid, he would go up to the campfire and he'd go, watch this. And he'd blow in that fire, and that thing began to build back up again. Throw some more wood and blow on those embers there, and it would grow, they just grow back up. That fire would get real big again. See, some of us here, we're not dead, but sometimes we got to have, say, God, I just got a season where I need the Holy Spirit to blow in me. I need the Holy Spirit to blow the fire, that the fire would increase back in my life. It's not saying that I'm dead. It's not saying that I'm a sinner, but it's saying, God, I need to repent and humble myself and turn back to you in a fresh and new way, that you can come and heal my land. That you can come and heal my family. That you can come and heal my community. God, you can come and do something great. And the world is not stopping God from moving. It's the church. All right, that's going to preach right there. I won't charge you any extra for that today. That was free. Really, it was. So we have too many Christians who are celebrating what God did 10 and 20 years ago in their life. We have too many Christians that had an experience with God 10, 20 years ago, and we think we're living off that. And God is wanting something fresh to do in your life today. God's wanting to do something fresh in our life today. God's wanting to do something fresh in your life today. Turn to your neighbor and say, today. God is wanting to do something fresh in your life today. We can't just live off what happened 10 and 20 years ago and nothing happening today. No, God is moving today, but he's looking for people who will cry out to him and say, God, we want you to move. Let me say again, God is moving today, but he's looking for people who will cry out and say, God, we want you to move. God, we're looking for you to move. God, we're praying for you to move. God, we're fasting for you to move. One of the things that bothers me the most is when we have Christians who sit around and they criticize other new Christians. Because they come in and they give their heart to Christ, and they haven't learned everything about the gospel yet, and they still got some things in their life that need to change, of course, but they've just been saved not very long, and they sit around and they want to criticize that person who is not changing. Oh, they got saved, but you know what they're still doing? They're still doing this, they're still doing that, and they're still doing this. If they're a Christian, why haven't they changed? And my statement to you is, why haven't you changed? You got all the revelation. You've been sitting in the teaching and preaching for years. Why aren't you changing? Why are you stuck in the same place you were 10 years ago? Why am I stuck in the same place? Because we are refusing to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. See, we got to be open and say, God, I want your Holy Spirit to change me, to renew me. And it's always easy to point at somebody else and say, you know what? Well, I've been in their shoes and I've grown and I've matured. See, God's looking for people who say, God, I want you now in my life. God, I'm wanting you now. Not just what I had 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, but I want you to have today. God, I want something fresh and anew today. This is why we're giving up things over the next 21 days. We're fasting food. We're fasting TV. We're fasting Facebook. Some are fasting music. People are fasting different things. Well, I don't know what you're fasting, but many people in this church are fasting things. Whatever the Holy Spirit has asked you to do in your heart, you said yes to. And we're giving up things, and we're praying to God. When we're driving to work, we're praying and declaring His glory over our city, declaring His glory in my life, declaring His kingdom come, His will be done in our life. We're declaring His will be done in our families. We drive home before we get to our house. We're praying over our children. We're praying over our spouse. We're praying over our marriage. We're saying, God, you're going to do something great. We're praying and fasting and saying, God, we are serious about you moving in our city. So how do you know that you need revival? I'm glad you asked that question because I'm going to answer it for you today. Isn't that nice of me? All right. How do you know you need revival? How do you know if you need revive, if you need resharpen, you need refresh? Let me give you some hints here. You might need revival. Sorry, I couldn't help that. You might need revival if you can't remember the last time you found an altar of prayer and cried out to God, you need revival in your life. If you can't remember the last time you found a place to say, God, I just got to lay on my face before you. God, I just got to get on my knees before you. God, I just got to get to a place where I cry out to the Lord. Say, God, I need you more in my life. God, I need things to change in my life. God, I need you in a deeper level in my life. God, I cannot do this alone. God, I need you to go before me. God, I need you to go with me. God, I need you to lead me and direct my life. If you can't remember the last time you had one of those good times of just sitting down with you and God alone, I'm not talking about just a service. I'm not talking about just a worship service. I'm talking about a time when you and God can get alone and say, God, I need you in a great way. Then you need revived in your life. If you're content with everyone else praising God around you and you have no desire to participate, then you need revival in your life. When you are guests, let me tell you this, when our guests are impressed and the saints leave depressed, we need revival in our life. Let me say that again. When our guests are impressed and our saints leave depressed, there's something wrong. Every Sunday here, we have people who come in and they're like, Pastor, I've never been here before, but man, I just feel God's presence here. I feel the power of God moving me. I feel His presence in worship, and I understand the Word of God is being preached. And man, I've never experienced church like this before. I didn't know church could be like this, and I hear that all the time. It isn't a shame that our guests can feel that sometimes, but many times we get complacent, and we live out here depressed. Man, I guess I'm just going to have to live the same way this week as I did last week. Someone who comes in who is not walking close to God can feel the Holy Spirit. If you're walking close to God, why can't you feel the Holy Spirit? Why can't you feel yourself? Why can't you say, God, I'm going to shake myself and say, Lord, I'm going to get more of you in my life. God, I want more of you. If you're struggling with that, you need revived in your life. We let a new Christian now praise us. Isn't that ashamed? That we'll come in many times, we'll see someone who just receive Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, a new Christian, and they'll come in, they don't even know how to praise right, according to the church handbook. They don't know they're supposed to raise their hand at what song. They don't know you're supposed to start off like this, and then you go this. They don't know you're supposed to rock when you're really into it, like Pastor Gene, and get down, They don't have the handbook. All they got is this: Jesus saved me, and I'm excited. He saved me from my sins, and I was once a sinner bound for hell, but now I've got in heaven my home, and I've been forgiven. Hallelujah. And they're excited, and they're praising the Lord. So what a tragedy it is that you and I, we know more than Jesus just saves. We know that Jesus saves. We know that He redeems. We know that He heals. We know that He restores. We know that He touches my finances. We know that He does miracles around us. We know that He restores my family, my children, my marriage. We know that He gives me the power of the Holy Spirit to walk this walk. We have a greater revelation, but yet our praise is sometimes much quieter than anybody else's. It makes no sense to me. Why is it that we have a greater revelation, but our praise becomes quieter to the Lord? See, we should be. If we find ourselves in a place, we need revive. We need refiring. We need sharpen our edge. We need a refreshing. We need the Holy Spirit just to blow in us that God would do something great. We got to cry out that God would do something more in my life. God, I need you more. Do not allow yourself to get into that place. If your kids come to you and ask you, are we going to church tomorrow? You know you need revival. And let me tell you why. Because your kids should not have to come to you and ask you if you're going to church. Your kids should be surprised when you don't go to church. Your kids should know, come hell or high water, we're going to be in the house of God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be there on a regular basis. We don't have to drag us away because we got to be where God's people are. We got to be. And I know you take vacation and I know things happen. I'm not talking about those things, but I'm talking about on a regular basis, on a regular schedule, that you need to know, your kids need to know, you know what? We're going to be at the house of God because we want to be where God's going to be. We want to be the presence. We want to be taught. We want to worship with other believers. If your kids have to ask you whether or not you're going to come, then maybe you need revival in your life. Because our kids should know it's just going to happen. Mom and dad are going to be there. And you're going to get out of bed and you're going to go. Let me say again. And you're going to get out of bed and you're going to go. Do you give them a choice to go to school? Then why do you give them a choice to go to church? Just asking. All right. That's another free message. That didn't cost you anything. It really didn't. That's free. See, our kids should know that it's just something we do. It's just something we are. It's who we are. When we have revival, we want to be in God's presence. We want to be there, see what God's doing. The fire of God should burn deep in our hearts. Look what Jeremiah 29 says. But his word was in my heart like what? A burning fire shut up in my bones. See, when the passion of God is there, it's a fire shut up within your bones. When God's presence is there and revival is happening in your heart, it's like a fire shut up in your bones, man. You can't contain it. It is there and people notice it. I've often been told this, that the best way to reach a city is to set your church on fire and people will come and watch you burn. People want to come where there's a fire at. People want to come where things are happening. People want to come where they can feel a genuine presence of the Holy Spirit. It's got to be something deep within us that we says, God, I want your word to come alive in me in a greater way. Some of you say, Pastor, I know what you're talking about, but I've matured. I've grown mature in my older age, and I realized that, you know, I used to be where they're at, but I've got a theological understanding of the Scriptures now, and I have a deeper understanding, and I'm solid with my teaching with Jesus Christ, and I understand all about the Scriptures, and I understand the right exegesis, and I understand how the Bible was laid out, and I understand all this, and I just, that's for them, but I'm deep. Well, if you're that deep, then you should be leading the praise. If you're that mature, then you should be on the front lines leading others on and cheering them on. If you're that deep, then you need to be the first one to say, yes, Lord, I've got a great revelation that you have come to set me free. I've got a great revelation of your grace in my life. God, I've got a great revelation of your power in my family. God, I've got a great revelation of what you can do to my finances. God, I've got a great revelation of what you can do to my community. God, I've got a great revelation of what you can do in my church. God, I've got a great revelation of what you can do through me. We don't reach maturity to sit there and be, all right, I've arrived. No, mature people lead people. Mature people coach people. Mature people restore people. Mature people teach people. This is where we got to be. You know we need revive. The closer I get to God, the more I want to live a life that pleases to him. So this is why this time of fasting is so important, because it narrows my focus back down to right priority. It says, God, I'm seeking you. During this time of prayer and fasting, I'm saying that I want to put you in the right place back where you need to be. I've allowed other things in my life to come and crowd their way in and to pull me away from you being a priority. And so this time, as I point on him, the closer I get to him, the more things in my life begin to fall away. Things I know that don't please him fall away. I love the scripture in Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to read verse 1. And then we'll go to verse 4. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Look at what it says here. Now, he's talking about the glory of God filling the temple. That when God's glory shows up, this is what happens. And it says in verse 4, then the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, the posts represent the pillars of the temple, doesn't it? It does. New Testament says, who's the temple? New Testament says that you and I, our bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. And the posts are what? The things that hold up the church, the support system in the church. So this is what I'm saying. That when you know you're in revival, when the posts are being shaken. You know you're in revival when the pillars of the church begin to be shaken. That means when the pastors are being shaken, when the praise team and the instrumentalists are being shaken, when the home group leaders are being shaken, when the ushers are being shaken, when the teachers are being shaken, when the nursery workers and children's workers and youth workers are being shaken, when they're being shaken with the presence of God and they know, you know what, I've got to move. I cannot stay the same. You know, revival is happening in people's lives. And when the presence of God comes, it should shake us. It should move us. It should say, you know what? I am small. He is large. I must decrease that he may increase. I must change who I am. I picked up some stuff in my life that doesn't need to be there. And God, I need to shed those things. And God, I need to move out from where I'm at. I need to shake that dirtiness off me. I need to shake some of these wrong priorities off and say, God, I'm refocusing upon your presence. God, I'm refocusing upon who you are in my life. It should change us. I wish I had some posts in this church that said, God, I would be shaken. God, I will change. God, I want to change my heart. I want to change my life. That's my prayer as your pastor. I don't want to stay the same. God, I want you to move me. But you see, our challenge is not to get new Christians excited or to praise God. Our challenge is to get people who've been saved for years to keep the fire of God burning. That's really the hard challenge right there. The challenge is to keep the people who've been in church for a long time fresh in the new, saying, God, I want your Holy Spirit to breathe in me. God, I need you to breathe in me fresh in the new. I love the story in Hebrews chapter 11 of Jacob. And it says that Jacob, he was just about to die. He was old, and he got his cane out. It says he got his cane out, and he helped him out of bed, and he got his cane. Called his boys, and he was leaning on his cane, and his boys come to him, and he blessed them. It says, after he blessed him, it says, then Jacob worshiped the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I just got this thinking of this man who's blind and crippled. He hadn't used a cane. And he's there worshiping the Lord. And I can see him sitting there just kind of leaning and kind of doing this right here. He's probably saying, sons, I can't move it like I used to. But I'm still going to let this foot tap. My spirit's still going to cry out. I'm still going to find a place of worship in the Lord. I don't care what age I am. I don't care where I'm at in my walk. Listen, I don't care where I'm at. We got to let our spirit cry out to God. Don't ever let that fire go out in your life. It's got to stay fresh. It's got to stay new. We need him to change us. We need some posts to say, God, I'm going to cry out for you. I'm not going to stay the same. In closing, let me give you two more things real fast. Number two, why do we need to cry out to God? Number two, because God is looking for someone to stand in the gap. God is looking for someone who will stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22:30, very clear. God said, I look for someone among them, talking about the church, who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of all the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. What's that mean? It means that God is looking for people who will stand in the gap. God's looking for people who say, God, I'm going to cry out on behalf of my city. God, I'm going to cry out on behalf of my community. God, I'm going to cry out on behalf of my state. God, I'm going to cry out on behalf of my nation. God, I'm going to cry out on behalf of the nations of the world. People who will cry out and say, God, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to intercede. I'll fast and pray, and God, I'll stand in the gap and say, God, come, heal our land. God, I'll repent. God, I'll be the first one to say, God, I need things. I need to repent in my life. And God, I repent of things I've allowed to come in my life that need to be gone. And God, I turn my face to you, and I stand in the gap for my nation. I stand in the gap for my city. I just want to prophesy right now. Say, let Destiny Church be a church that will stand in the gap. Let Destiny Church be a church that will stand in the gap. That will not be afraid to cry out for this city, for this four-state area, for this region, and for the nations. And as we close, number three, there's a reason why we must cry out. If I'm silent, the rocks will cry out in my place. Luke 19, look what it says here. Verse 39 and 40. The disciples were coming along. They're praising the Lord, singing out the praises to God. And the Pharisees, what they said, the Pharisees said in the crowd, they said, Jesus, teach, rebuke your disciples. They're telling them, tell them not to praise you like that out loud. Look what he said. I tell you, he said, I tell you the truth. He replied, if I keep quiet, if they keep quiet, even the rocks will what? Cry out. That means when you don't do what you were created to do, that God will allow even the rocks to cry out in your place. This means when you come in here on a Sunday morning, you sit down, if you don't cry out, God will cause your chair to cry out. He'll cause this carpet to sing out. He'll cause everything. Listen, he's a God who demands worship, and he demands people to cry out to him, who freely will come to him and say, God, I give you everything. God, I'll give you everything I am. He will cry out, oh, I've just got to make my mind up. God, I am not going to be silent. God, I am not going to allow any rock to outpraise me. I hope that's not your testimony today. It's pretty sad if it is. They say, God, this rock is outpraising me. But we got to say, God, I'm not going to let no rock outpraise me. I've got to let no rock stand in my place. So God, I am coming today. Say, so God, I refuse to be silent. God, I refuse not to cry out, but I'm going to cry out for my city. I'm going to cry out for my nation. I'm going to cry out for the nations. I'm going to cry out for my city, for my children, for my family, for my life. I'm crying out that the Holy Spirit would come fresh and anew in my life. Let's bow your heads. This morning, with every head bowed and no one's looking around but me, I want to ask you a question before we go any further. Maybe you want to be like those who joined me this morning who raised their hands and said, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You're talking about crying out to God. Well, today, you need to cry out, first of all, and say, God, I need to repent of my sins. I need to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I've never done that before, and today, I'm feeling something compelling me. I'm feeling something in my heart stirring. I don't understand it all, but I know this one thing, that Jesus Christ is calling me. And today, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to ask him to forgive me my sins, and I want to make sure that heaven's my home, and I want to walk in a new covenant, a new relationship with Jesus Christ. With nobody looking around today, maybe you've never prayed that prayer before today, or maybe you prayed it a long time ago. And today, say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer a long time ago, but today I want to come back, and I haven't lived for God in a long time, and today I want to come back and renew that covenant I made with God and ask him into my heart. Nobody's looking around but me, and I will not embarrass you at all, but can you just raise your hand, but you say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me, Pastor. Thank you. Anybody else who want to join these today? Say, I'm ready today, Pastor, to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you haven't, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today want to join these? Say, today's my day, Pastor. Thank you for raising your hand. Anybody else want to join these that are raising their hands? And say, that's me. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these four people today who've raised their hands? Anybody else? That's me. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, I'm ready today. Today's my day. I'm ready to cry out to God. Those of you who raised your hands, we're all going to say this prayer with you as Christians. We're going to say it with you out loud, especially those who raised your hands. We want you to say it and mean it from your heart today. I want you to say this. Repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my life. I give you everything I am. From this day forward, I will live for you. I believe your Son is the Messiah who died on the cross for my sins. I love you. And I confess you as Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it for the first time, welcome to Family God. Yeah, let's give him a hand clap. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, it's just the beginning, okay? This is just the beginning of a new journey. Before you leave today, please stop by our information booth in the back. We've got a free Bible, some other information that tells you about your decision today and what you need to do next. First of all, let me tell you, you need a church home. If you don't have a church home, you need to get connected to a church home. We'd love to have you here. If you'd love to be with us, we can support you and encourage you. If you came with a friend, tell them before you leave today, man, I accepted Jesus today, and I need your encouragement. I need you. Thank you for being with me today. Tell them, man. Tell them that. Let's encourage each other. The rest of you today, I'm going to ask you this question. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready to cry out? Anybody here say, raise your hands, I'm ready to cry out? I'm going to invite you to come. I want everyone of us who can that will come. Just join me around the front this morning. We're going to close in a song and close in a time of crying out to the Lord. So I want you to come and join me around the front. I'm going to need you to scoot in, guys, as close as you can get in. Thank you. The commanders kind of spread out, guys, to the corners as much as possible. Might need to spread out that way a little bit around the toward the screens. If you need to make your way toward the screens, that's fine. And it's awesome. The service is growing back to the point where we have a problem getting people back around the front. This is awesome. We had a full pack front in the first service, too. Both services are growing. Awesome what God's doing. Yeah, make your way to the right there, guys. Make some more room there. If you need to stand in the aisle, that's okay, guys. I understand. There's more room over to my left over here as well in this corner. There's plenty of room if you guys want to kind of scoot that way. We're going to sing a song here. It's a very simple song. It's got four lines to it. Why don't you put those lines up there, guys? It says, we cry out for this nation. We cry out for this land. Fill us now with your power. Send revival. Send revival. And as we sing a song today, I want you just to declare it in your heart, saying, God, this is the cry of my heart. The awesome thing is the Word of God says that when we cry out to God, that He does what? He draws near to us. So this is awesome today. As we cry out to Him, know that He's going to come and He's going to begin to blow in your life fresh and anew. He's going to do new things in your life today. But let's start right here by raising our hands and singing this song. It says, we cry out.
For Webb City, Missouri.
Lord, we cry out for the city of Carthage, Missouri.
God, we cry out for Carl Junction, Missouri.
Lord, we cry out for the city of Riverton, Kansas. Lord, we cry out for the city of Neosho, Missouri.
Father, we cry out for the city of Seneca, Missouri.
Lord, we cry out for Galena, Kansas.
Father, we cry out for the United States of America.
Cry out for this nation. We cry out for this land.
Are you ready to be part of the great revival that God has for you and your family? Do you want to be a part of the great revival that God has for you and this church, this community, for this nation? We're going to count to three, and when I count to three, I want you just to give out a cry unto God, a shout unto God that says, God, we want you, and God, we need you, and God, we declare, Lord, that your greatness, God, that your glory be released upon our city, that your glory be released upon our church, that your glory be released upon our families, that your glory be released upon our nation. On the count of three, I want you to put your hands together. I want you to raise your voices. We're going to shout it out. Ready? One, two, get ready, and three. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, let it ring to the Lord today. Father, we cry out to you today, God. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We cry out.
Come on, declare. Out for this nation. We cry out for this land. Fill us now with your power. Send revival. Send revival. We cry out for this nation. We cry out for this.
Your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, if you don't mind doing this. We're just going to pray for each other today. If you're comfortable doing that, we're just going to pray for each other. There's power in touching each other and allowing the Holy Spirit to move among us. Father, right now, begin to pray. Father, we pray for the person who we touched to the right. And Father, as I touch Carlos right now, I pray there's a release of your Holy Spirit that goes throughout this congregation. God, there's a release of your glory that goes through this congregation today. God, I pray that you would breathe on your people. God, you would breathe on our hearts. You would breathe in our spirits once again, reviving us, God, resharpening us, refreshing us, God, bringing to life things that have been dead. And God, we speak out right now for the person we're sitting next to right now, God. We speak into their life encouragement. God, we speak encouragement. Lord, we speak that boldness of the Holy Spirit be released in their life. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit be released fresh and anew. God, you increase your anointing. God, you increase the Holy Spirit in their life today, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we cry out to you, Lord. We release and pray for them, Father. We stand in the gap for our brothers. In the Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hillary, can you and all of you come here just a second? I really want to pray for Brazil right now. Just feel in my heart. I want to pray for Brazil. Can you guys come here? All week long, I just can't tell you. I've had Brazil in my heart all week long. I'm glad you guys are here today. I just want to cry out for Brazil. It's a country that these are our missionaries. I want you to stretch your hands this way. I just want to believe that God's going to do something in Brazil fresh and new, even a compassion. Father, right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we cry out for Brazil. Lord, we cry out for Brazil right now, God. Many times they have cried out for us. And God, today we cry out for Brazil, Lord, in return. God, I pray that you send revival fresh and anew. God, may the church repent. God, may you see the religious strongholds fall in the name of Jesus. And God, may you release this new word that's going out, God, a fresh anointing. Lord, this word going out, God, a fresh relationship. God, I pray right now for Hillary and all of you, God, that you release in their life, God, a fresh anointing. God, may it go to Brazil, Lord, with a compassion, a passion ministries, God. The church there, Lord, may their leaders feel your presence this morning. God, may their church congregation be filled fresh and anew. God, may the city of Manaus be changed.
May the Amazon region be changed. Lord, we cry out in Jesus' name for Brazil today, God. Send your glory. Send fresh anointing, God, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we cry out on their behalf. In Jesus' name, fresh and anew, God. Fresh season, God, in Jesus' name. Fresh season, God, fresh harvest. Fresh blessing, God, fresh vision, fresh leadership. Lord, in Jesus' name, fresh revival, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's cry out, let's sing it again.
Oh Lord, we cry out for this nation. We cry out for this land. Fill us now with your power. Send revival, send revival. We cry out for this nation. We cry out for this land. Fill us now with your power. Send revival, send revival.
One more time, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Father, we bless you. Now listen to me. We're on day 7 of a 21-day fast, and maybe you're here and you've blown it. As a pastor, I've blown my fast. And let me say to you, congratulations, all right. You're human, okay? And you're weak, and you're going to have times that you don't do everything you set your goals to do. But that's all right. Let me be your coach, though, okay? Let me encourage you. If you have fallen off and you say, I've fallen off, so I gave up, don't give up. Don't give up. Press after the things of God, okay? If you've fallen off, say, God, I'm going to get back on it today, and I'm going to get back on my fast. And if I mess up, I'm going to do better tomorrow, and I'm going to do better and set my goals, maybe some things I need to let go of my life. Maybe even today, God's telling you things you want to give up over the next 2 weeks. Say, God, I'm seeking after you. God, I'm seeking after you for more of my life. Listen, declare that, okay? Declare that. Jeremiah, what we just talked about. God, I pray that your word comes alive in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. That's what we want to pray. God, his passion will renew in our life for the Holy Spirit. Pray that prayer this week. Get back on the fast, and let's pray and see what God wants to do. How many know the best is still yet to come? Release that. Release that. Cry out. Cry out. Know what you're doing over the next 14 days. I'm crying out. I'm crying out for my city. I'm crying out for my nation. I'm crying out for my life, for my family. Let's cry out together. Hey, thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to pick up your books. If you didn't pick one up, there's extras back there. Pick one up, okay? God bless you. Hug a neck. Shake a hand before you leave. Tell somebody it was great to be with you today.